Hey there, I'm Wendy Vaughn, sales success coach. Now, they call me the queen of predictable sales results. Well, because the easy formulas I share create sustainable, predictable results for my clients. And I'm so glad that you've tuned in to today's episode of the Selling Made Easy Show, because this show is all about inspiration, not just in demystifying the client getting process known as sales, but also in peering through the lens of guest entrepreneurs who are blazing their own trails. And those trails have probably included a few unexpected roadblocks, maybe even having to overcome the fear or blocks about selling. Now, I believe everyone has their zone of genius, their superpower that's a gift to others, including you. Now, for me, after 22 years of outperforming my peers in sales results, well, it's almost an X-ray vision that I have when it comes to finding and fixing any sales blind spots within entrepreneurs that are unknowingly causing clients to slip away. And with today's guest, his zone of genius is his ability to help people achieve things they never thought were possible and overcome their fears by providing support, encouragement, and a healthy dose of adversity. So I'm super excited to introduce Knight Campbell. Now, Knight is founder and CEO at Cairn Leadership Strategies. Now, he's a U.S. Navy veteran turned climbing guide and executive coach who develops business leaders through outdoor adventures. Well, welcome, Knight. I am so excited to have you as my guest today.
Thank you, Wendy. I'm really excited to be here and always happy to talk with a fellow skier.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and I just love how you've combined the skills you acquired in the Navy with your climbing expedition skills and are now helping executive leaders literally reach new levels of success in their professional lives. I really can't wait to hear more about this and the work that you're now doing.
Yeah, we like to say that we take people to the pictures on everyone else's website. So really excited to share about how we do it with you.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, I have those screensavers that are all those awesome mountain scenes. So I get what you're saying there. Now, exactly what was the inspiration or tipping point that prompted you to start your own executive coaching practice?
You know, I think I always had this idea of having a business, and it's ranged from a bike shop with a coffee shop in it to a place where people could stay and go out in the mountains. But as I was leaving the active duty Navy, I knew I loved to teach and develop leaders, and I knew I needed to be outside, and that's where that work ought to be done. And it took me a couple years to put those two together in a really meaningful way.
I love that, where you've really combined your own passion with your expertise and skills that you acquired along the way. So that's fantastic. Now, I realize you've had a career in the Navy, but how long have you had your own coaching practice, and has your business mission or vision evolved during that time?
That's such a good question. And ironically, we work with clients to develop missions and visions. And it took a long time and a lot of work and hard thought for us to come up with exactly what our mission and vision are. So we've been in business. This is our third year. It's about the fifth year of me seriously pursuing and thinking about this line of work. And the simple mission and vision is to share the power of the outdoors with leaders and help leaders fulfill their potential through that power. That has been refined, and we've created an amazing network and way to do that. But the simple mission and vision has never changed. It needs to be outdoors, and it needs to be people who want to grow.
Yeah, no, that's you've stayed with that core kind of combination of taking people into a new environment where they can really tap into some skills and reduce maybe some limiting beliefs, or at least face them head on and achieve new levels. That's fantastic. I love that combination of the outdoors with the professional mindset. So, have there been any big roadblocks or challenges that you've had to overcome along the way?
Right back to that mission and vision, you know, I shared that we develop leaders through outdoor adventures, but that took years to distill. And I just remember trying to explain, you know, we take people outside and leaders and we do adventures and the adventures help leaders and we do coaching and all, you can imagine how unsuccinct it was.
Right.
And people get confused. They say, well, you're REI or, you know, are you Center for Creative Leadership? And we're neither. And we're a gestalt that's better than both, in my humble opinion.
Mm-hmm. So in just gaining clarity and being able to convey that powerful message to people, how did you overcome wordsmithing? And, you know, did you work on this just bouncing ideas off each other? Or did you enlist a coach? Or what was your process to really come up with a succinct mission?
Yeah, well, ironically, it was working with a coach that gave me the courage to do this at all. I was in a PhD program and miserable, and clearly it wasn't where my life should go. And talking to her and saying, you know, I don't want to be here. I want to develop leaders and I need to be outside. And she said, well, why don't you just take leaders outside and teach them leadership? Of course, this is why we get coaches, because they help us to see what might be right in front of our nose, but still invisible. But really, I brought on Abigail Jones as a partner a little over a year ago, and that just having a partner has been formative for the business, to be able to talk with someone and bounce ideas off each other. And doing the thing that we do has been powerful. Every time we take another group out, every time I go coach a leader hanging off of a rock face or on top of a mountain, I get a little more clarity, and taking the time to reflect on that and distill that into our message has been really useful. Mm. So I think just doing the thing instead of thinking about it can be the most powerful way to get clarity.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. That's a powerful lesson right there. That's a piece of wisdom that all of us can apply in our own businesses, and doesn't have to be hanging from a rock wall, but just get in motion and working with people really fine tunes where we can serve best and just how to craft that clear cut message. So yeah, I love that. Now, Knight, you're obviously an expert at helping executive leaders really overcome their fears and limiting beliefs so they can reach new levels of success within their lives and careers. But how do you feel about the client enrollment or sales part of being in business? Do you have any challenges or frustrations with this important part of growing a successful business?
Oh, absolutely.
Don't hold anything back there.
Yeah, no. It's, you know, I think there's a mentality around it that I didn't understand. I came out of the military where things are pretty straightforward. We have a mission. We rely on each other as a team, and we're pretty transparent. And, you know, at first I had the naive idea that people would say, wow, you take people rock climbing and help us lead better? Sign me up.
Yeah,
which
I'm all in.
Actually didn't happen, surprisingly. And it just as being an entrepreneur and in selling, I have to look at it as part of the journey, part of the adventure, part of my job. If all I did was coaching and rock climbing and mountaineering and backpacking, and I looked at this resentfully, I think it would be way harder. And that's been a hard lesson. You know, a lot of times I've looked at selling as a obstacle or something that I had to do but didn't like to do. And in the last, I guess, year or so, it's been more of trying to embrace marketing and looking at it as a challenge to overcome instead of a problem to resent. But honestly, the hardest thing for me, you know, especially beginning, I would talk to a prospective client or a leader I met in networking. I'd be like, heck, let's just go climbing. You know, I just want to take you out. I want to show you this amazing thing. And then I forget, you know, I ought to charge them to do that.
Right.
So, yeah, it's just, I'm so passionate and so in love with what we offer and what we do, and seeing the change, seeing the empowerment, seeing the joy in people's faces when they get to the top of a mountain for the first time that they never thought they could climb, when they see a glacier for the first time, when they get to the top of a rock climb that I forget, you know, I need to charge in order to have cash flow, in order to get the right gear and continue growing the business, right, which is another passion of mine.
Right. You got to survive, Knight.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm wanting to make sure I understand what your biggest challenge is. Is it just embracing the whole selling role, the sales role of being in business, or is it being able to feel good about charging an equal amount to the outcome that you're providing? So which is it?
Yeah, you know, I think embracing the role, I've gotten over. That was a huge challenge for me and something I think I'll always struggle with. But charging what we're worth, I think we all struggle with imposter syndrome, thinking, you know, why would someone hire me? I've only got 10 years of experience on deployments, leading sailors and flying helicopters and two masters in leadership. Like when I look at it on paper, I'm like, oh, of course. Yeah. But internally, you just feel like, oh, geez, I don't know. I don't know what we're worth. And that's a hard thing to overcome, I think, mm-hmm. when you're trying to sell.
Okay. Yeah, well, that's definitely a common problem that entrepreneurs struggle with. So if you'd like a little bit of on-the-spot coaching here, I'd be happy to provide you with a little bit of advice on how to step more firmly into charging the rates that you're really providing the value for.
I'd love it. Yeah.
Well, so basically, you know, it's an interesting thing for me to realize that this whole imposter syndrome is something that comes up in a person like you, but it does. It happens with all of us. You know, I've got 22 years of sales experience. And when I first started coaching, it's like, oh, you know, I just don't know if I can really make a difference. And the same kind of thing, you have to look at what expertise you're bringing forward. And what I found that's so valuable for a lot of my clients is you almost build that into, in a very conversational way, into your enrollment call, where you're kind of sharing with your prospective client the expertise that you have in a way that's not boastful, but yet more conversational, in references to, yeah, well, when I was in the Navy and we had this, we were facing this. And for 10 years, I was experiencing a very similar kind of thing. And you kind of tie in references to your vast experience or your solid leadership training experience that you've already had. And it does several things within that conversation. One, it creates credibility, obviously, right? But the second thing is it helps you to remind yourself what you're bringing forward to this person. And even though they've got maybe this CEO position or title at some large corporation, that does not really overpower the grand expertise that you're bringing forward. It's just in a different kind of previous experience and role and that kind of thing. And so to help step more firmly into your expertise, what I always recommend is within the client enrollment conversation, reference those big achievements or those, you know, 10 years you've been providing this type of experience or in this type of a format that you've been helping people grow and reach new levels of success. And it just helps reconnect you with your own expertise. And then secondly, when you're thinking about that, the offer, and hopefully you have associated a rate that is in direct reflection with not just the experience of being out on a rock and being able to do something physically that maybe somebody hasn't been able to do previous to your opportunity of, you know, being there with the right equipment and the right leadership to be able to climb a rock, but how they're carrying that experience then forward and making such a huge difference in their life at a professional level, and really how that translates on a tangible three-dimensional outcome and how the ripple effect occurs. When you kind of wrap your head around not just that experience of being with you that day, but then the fast forward and the ripple effect of their daily life, not only in their work, but their family life or their relationships or being able to serve their own company and make a bigger impact. When you really lean into that huge impact that, I don't know what the length of time is that you work with people or what this experience is, but when you boil down that concentrated experience into, okay, the investment for this program that I'm offering is XYZ, you in your mind are already realizing the ripple effect. And of course, it comes down to being able to transfer that into, like you said earlier, a message that makes a difference, that they resonate with. That's kind of a long, wordy answer, but the bottom line is in just reminding yourself every time, every conversation of what the greatness is that you're bringing forward, and not keeping that to yourself, but you're actually sharing that conversationally with your prospective client. And then keeping in mind that the experience is just going to stay alive with them through various renditions of life after the event. And it makes it whatever investment level then seem like a huge value. Because really, without them being able to invest financially, they aren't as committed either, right? It's when people financial commitment is when they play more all in. And the lower the investment, the more they kind of dilute the experience. The higher the investment, the more they are committed.
So absolutely. Yeah, we've definitely seen that.
Yeah, so hopefully that kind of helps shift your paradigm a little bit and step more easily into that investment level to work with you is a way that is an easier part of doing business versus something you want to shy away from or run away. Well, let's just go climb this mountain and we'll forget about the money part.
Well, actually, that sounds pretty good. No, that's helpful. Thank you. I think for veterans in particular, we don't like to talk about what we achieve. We like to focus on the team and the people around us. And that's hard to do to reverse, but important to sell, you know, to put names to the accomplishments and reasons that people should invest in time with us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Good. Well, hopefully that's moved the needle for you a little bit there. So I'm just curious in talking about, you know, overcoming situations and being able to put people through adversity to reach new levels. Right now we're in this state of adversity, the pandemic, you know, COVID-19 has really had a huge impact on everybody's life in some way and created tremendous adversity. I'm wondering, how has this impacted the work that you're doing?
Yeah, it's been an interesting year for sure. We got back from an executive weekend in Joshua Tree climbing on March 15th. So if you remember that date, we went out and, you know, we're kind of wondering what would happen and came back and my wife had texted me, get all the meat that you can at Walmart. I was like, what? But it's been, you know, we teach a lot. We work with leaders about tension and tensegrity and balance. And a big tension for us is I fervently believe that time outdoors is the most powerful time you can spend. And it's hard to do now. And so this has forced our hand to be more virtual, to do more things on Zoom. And it's worked out. You know, we've done hikes on Zoom where people dial in and walk around their house, especially in the thick of being locked down. And you build a community just the same. You know, it's much more powerful than sitting around and people looking bored and turning off their video. It's a better experience when people are walking around or at least sharing some experience, some part of their life with each other.
Right.
So we've done a lot of virtual stuff like that. We've, of course, retooled all our experiences. Right now we have dehydrated meals instead of cooking fresh food, which is frustrating for us. But a lot of participants think it's just the greatest thing to have fettuccine Alfredo in a bag. And it is pretty good.
They do this at home?
Yeah. No. When we go out. Yeah, we've started taking people out.
You are still taking people out?
Yeah, we stopped until July, and now we take small groups, only one person per tent, face masks, of course, dehydrated meals, no cooking anymore, which is a bummer, but still works out. And, you know, there's no safer place to be, honestly. There's sun. We limit the size to no more than 10 people, including us, so you can keep that space and... Yeah. You sit around in a big circle with 6 feet between you and everybody's screened for COVID and everything like that. And it's just, I feel much safer there than walking through Safeway, picking up groceries or wherever, picking up gas, the gas station and things like that. So.
Right. Oh, that's great. Yeah. I love that you're still able to experience the outdoors and have people go out and still be safe. That's fantastic. I was just wondering how you'd been adjusting. So that's good to hear.
Yeah. Thank goodness. Like I said, doing the thing is where we get clarity. So taking a break from March to July was tough, but good.
Yeah. Well, that's great. Well, how do you work with executives who really want to take their careers to a whole new level through this untraditional type of a format? Can you share a little bit about your philosophy and your approach and just what the experience is all about?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll get excited here because we just got off Mount Baker at a mountaineering expedition with a group of five, and it was incredible. We got rained on for a whole day. It was cold. It was then sunny and hot, and we got baked on the glacier. And that, you know, nothing worth doing is ever easy, and we all know that, and everybody nods. And you know, when we take people out, we always say, we hope at some point that you wish you hadn't signed up. And of course, we hope it's not the last point, but what's the point if it's all easy? You're not going to learn anything. So what we do, we have a year-long membership, and people can come out on these weekend adventures to get a taste of what we do, but we really encourage the year-long membership. And we try to combine gritty experiential learning, executive coaching that's action-based, and rigorous leadership thought. So they're really, I don't know of many other organizations that combine those three things. You know, you either have feel good stuff outside, or you have really hard nosed empirical based stuff inside. You have, you know, organizations that take people outside and do leadership, but they don't do the coaching. And I think those three things need to be together. Right. So being outside makes you healthier, makes you happier, makes you more creative. Science shows that. It's pretty cool, the research that's coming out now, but it also gives you something real, a real consequence. So when you're making a decision on whether or not to climb Mount Baker, you can take notes and say, wow, like, this is how we made the decision. This is the data that we used. This is how the group came to terms with a tough decision, whether or not to climb at 2 a.m. And then you can apply it directly to your life and to your leadership. And that's where the coaching comes in. You know, you say, well, I'm going to start making more consensus-based decisions because that worked really well. And then myself or one of our coaches is going to call you in a month and say, hey, how is your consensus-based decision-making coming? Mm-hmm. And that's how you transfer it to real life. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to sit around a campfire or sit around with hot coffee and talk about the theories, not just feel good, you know, books about how leaders should act, but what the research says about decision-making, because that matters. Just looking at something that makes you feel good is great. And so Monday when you check your email and then you forget all about it. But basing it in empirical evidence, I think, is really important. So we put those three things together. We take people out on quarterly weekend adventures. We offer longer, like Mount Baker expeditions as well. And then we do coaching once a month to hold people accountable, to support people, to help them you know, explore, get more clarity on tough decisions and sticky points in their leadership. And we combine that, you know, we send you a book once every 2 months with a different subject that you choose. It might be communication, decision-making, all the way to environmental stewardship and community integration for your business. We're really big on the B Corporation and making businesses that matter, not just the bottom line. And we explore these modules, these leadership competencies to help you grow specifically, because I've done a lot of coaching. I've been coached. Sometimes it just feels fuzzy. It's just like, oh, I don't really know what I want to talk about. Well, if you have a book and a subject, then at least you're going to be tackling something that's important to you. So that's the gist of what we do. I could go on forever and ever and talk about rock climbing and backpacking and the amazing tight-knit communities that come out of one of these just weekends, but
right.
That's the gist.
Oh, yeah, that's fantastic. It just sounds like it's so robust and dynamic, and it's ongoing. I love how you bridge the gap between the outdoor experience with then the monthly check-ins. Okay, we're in the corporate seat. You know, what are we taking forward? What are we, you know, what's showing up, and just fine-tuning along the way. That's fantastic. Well, how can listeners reach you if they're interested in learning more about working with you?
Yeah, the best way is our website, KarenLeadership.com. You can go on there and check out all the different things we do, the upcoming adventures. We're soon to be expanding to the East Coast and up to Seattle as well as San Diego. So you can get excited about adventures all over the U.S. And you can always reach out on LinkedIn as well. Just look me up on LinkedIn. Okay. Love connecting there and chatting with people.
Okay, great. So that's Cairn Leadership. And I think that's spelled C-A-I-R-N, correct?
Correct.
Okay, cairnleadership.com.
That's
and
it.
As well as LinkedIn through your name, right, Knight?
Correct,
okay.
Yes.
Fantastic. Yeah, that sounds awesome. I know I'm going to go check that out because that sounds like just a fantastic experience and program that you put together. Well,
yeah,
you know, and it's just been so great listening to, you know, some of these golden nuggets that you've already shared. But if I could tap on you one last time here, in looking at your own experience in building your coaching practice, you know, what's some advice that you can share with, say, a frustrated entrepreneur who's maybe questioning their decision to have started their own business, or they're doubting their ability to succeed?
Yeah, I guess I have two pieces of advice that I'm leaning on some wonderful women and who I've interviewed recently. And one said, just show up. And I think that's so important. We talked about it before already. Just keep taking a step forward. Keep doing the thing that you do. Some days it's going to be sloppy and not as good as you want. And some days it's going to be magnificent. And the average will be great. But if you don't show up, nothing's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And the other one comes from Dee Dee Halfhill. She's a colonel in the Air Force. And we were talking about fear. And she has this idea of, you know, when you're afraid, evaluate that fear. Because some fears are realistic. You know, if I'm hiking under a rock fall zone, I should be afraid. That's smart.
Yeah.
And some fears might be something more like that imposter syndrome that really isn't that rational.
Yeah.
And as an entrepreneur, I think a lot of those fears, you know, am I adequate? Am I doing enough? Am I supporting my family enough? Am I too, all these things, this jumble of fears in your head, most of them are irrational. And some of them are rational and important. So if you can parse those out, fix the ones that are rational and ignore the rest of them, you'll be much happier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. Ah, those are both powerful words of wisdom there. Just show up. I love that. You know, just keep putting in that effort. It's not going to be pretty sometimes is what I think it said, or sometimes it will be, but
yeah,
going up and then evaluate the fear and see what's irrational. Yeah, that's great. I love that. Thank you so much for sharing that.
Of course.
Well, Knight, it's just been so great getting to hear about your journey from the important work you were doing in the Navy and developing those leadership skills there to the work that you're now doing, bringing forward that incredible experience and expertise, combining it with your climbing skills and expedition skills, and really making such a huge difference for so many executives in their professional lives by experiencing the outdoor adventures and your leadership skills and coaching. It's just been so great listening to how you've built this wonderful business and are really making such a huge difference. I've really enjoyed our conversation, and I want to thank you so much for being a guest on today's show.
Thank you for having me on, and thank you for the coaching. I'll keep mulling over that.
Okay, that sounds great. And again, for our listeners, you can reach Knight Campbell through his website, and that's cairnleadership.com, C-A-I-R-N, leadership.com, or look him up on LinkedIn. All right, and for all our listeners, remember, when it comes to building a business that brings you joy and has an endless flow of high-paying clients, well, don't overlook the power of the optimized sales conversation, where you've triggered all four psychological states needed for your prospective clients to feel confident and excited about saying, yeah, this sounds great. What's next? So are you 100% confident that your sales conversations are optimized? Well, if you're curious, reach out to me and apply for a sales blind spot coaching session. You may be surprised by what we discover. All right. Well, this is Wendy Vaughn, Chief Paradigm Shifter and Sales Success Coach. And you can find me in our next podcast episode at predictablesalesresults.com. All right. Well, thank you for tuning in to today's episode with Knight Campbell. And as always, here's to your success.